Slarty Bartfast had hoped for an easy retirement. He had been planning to learn to play the octaventral Hebe phone, a pleasantly futile task he knew because he had the wrong number of mouths. He had also been planning to write an eccentric and relentlessly inaccurate monograph on the subject of equatorial fjords in order to set the record wrong about one or two matters he saw as important. Instead, he had somehow got talked into doing some part-time work for the Campaign for Real Time and had started to take it all seriously for the first time in his life. As a result, he now found himself spending his fast-declining years combating evil and trying to save the galaxy. He found it exhausting work and sighed heavily. "Ah, listen," he said. "At cam time..." "What?" said Arthur. "The Campaign for Real Time, which I will tell you about later. I noticed that five pieces of jetsam, which had in relatively recent times plopped back into existence, seemed to correspond to the five pieces of the missing key. Only two I could trace exactly, the wooden pillar, which appeared on your planet, and the silver bale. It seems to be at some sort of party. We must go there to retrieve it before the cricket robots find it, or who knows what may happen." "No," said Ford firmly. "We must go to the party in order to drink a lot and dance with girls."
"But haven't you understood everything I..."
"Yes," said Ford with a sudden and unexpected fierceness. "I've understood it all perfectly well. That's why I want to have as many drinks and dance with as many girls as possible while there are still any left. If everything you've shown us is true..."
"True? Of course it's true. Then we don't stand a whelk's chance in a supernova."
"A what?" said Arthur sharply again. He had been following the conversation doggedly up to this point and was keen not to lose the thread now.
"A whelk's chance in a supernova," repeated Ford without losing momentum.
What's a whelk got to do with a supernova?" said Arthur.
"It doesn't," said Ford levelly, "stand a chance in one."
He paused to see if the matter was now cleared up. The freshly puzzled looks clambering across Arthur's face told him that it wasn't.
"A supernova," said Ford as quickly and as clearly as he could, "is a star which explodes at almost half the speed of light and burns with the brightness of a billion suns and then collapses as a super-heavy neutron star. It's a star which burns up other stars. Got it? Nothing stands a chance in a supernova."
"I see," said Arthur. So why a whelk, particularly?"
"Why not a whelk? Doesn't matter."
Arthur accepted this, and Ford continued, picking up his early fierce momentum as best he could.
"The point is," he said, "that people like you and me, Slarty Bartfast, and Arthur, particularly and especially Arthur, are just dilettantes, eccentrics, layabouts, fart-arounds, if you like."
Slarty Bartfast frowned, partly in puzzlement and partly in umbrage. He started to speak. "Is as far as he got."
"We're not obsessed by anything, you see," insisted Ford. "And that's the deciding factor. We can't win against obsession. They care, we don't, they win."
I care about lots of things," said Slarty Bartfast, his voice trembling partly with annoyance, but partly also with uncertainty.
"Such as?"
"Well," said the old man, "life, the universe, everything, really. Fjords."
"Would you die for them?"
"Fjords?" blinked Slarty Bartfast in surprise. "No."
"Well, then!"
"Wouldn't see the point, to be honest."
"And I still can't see the connection," said Arthur, "with whelks."
Ford could feel the conversation slipping out of his control and refused to be sidetracked by anything at this point.
"The point is," he hissed, "that we are not obsessive people and we don't stand a chance against..."
"Except for your sudden obsession with whelks," pursued Arthur, "which I still haven't understood."
"Will you please leave whelks out of it?"
"I will if you will," said Arthur. "You brought the subject up."
"It was an error," said Ford. "Forget them. The point is this."
He leant forward and rested his forehead on the tips of his fingers.
"What was I talking about?" he said wearily.
"Let's just go down to the party," said Slarty Bartfast, "for whatever reason."
He stood up, shaking his head.
"I think that's what I was trying to say," said Ford.
For some unexplained reason, the teleport cubicles were in the bathroom.